Well, Jacob is continuing his journey back toward home. And the Lord sends graciously a double host of angels to accompany him. Some 120,000 angels, if the Jews are correct, that a host consisted of 60,000. And this being Mahanaim, which means double or two hosts, 120,000 angels. It's quite interesting to remember it's been 20 years since Jacob used a rock for a pillow, and he laid down and he dreamed, and the Lord in this dream showed him a ladder. That ladder reached from earth, reached all the way to heaven. The ladder is Christ Jesus. That's a picture of Christ Jesus. We know that. We come to God through Christ, this ladder. And God deals with us by means of this ladder, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a long ladder. He reaches all the way to God. And God comes down to us, all the way to us, by means of this ladder. One of the many interesting things about that ladder that Jacob saw, he saw angels of God. Angels of God ascending and descending upon that ladder. Remember this, all of the blessings of God come to us through Christ Jesus. And angels are a blessing of God to us. And when our Lord sends angels to minister to His saints, as He sent these two hosts of angels to minister to Jacob, you may rest fully assured He sent them to Jacob by way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every mercy, every grace, every blessing that God has for us sons and daughters of Adam, people who are saved by the grace of God, that remnant according to the election of grace, every mercy God sends to us, He sends through Christ Jesus. And He doesn't send them any other way. Now God blesses us as we meet together through the preaching of the Word. He blesses us through the ministry of a congregation such as ours. He uses us. But make no mistake, those blessings don't come to people through us. They come to us through Christ Jesus, this ladder. I love the words of verse 1 where it says, the angels of God met him. The angels of God met him. Now, not just one angel. The one angel who is sent of God to guard us, to encourage us, to minister to us in some way. One angel is more than sufficient. But our Lord opened the eyes of Jacob and enabled him to see a host of angels. A host of angels. And this was to greatly encourage him. And let us remember, those of us who are the people of God, that the Lord has continually, He's sent angels, He's used angels to minister to us. Listen, He used angels to minister to His own Son. That's how much grace of the Lord is manifested through angels. He used them to bless His Son, to minister to His Son, to watch over and in some way protect His Son. The angels were there. They sang His praises as soon as He was born. And I thought of this today as I worked on this message. Those angels that bless us through their presence, that is, God blesses us through their presence. Angels that minister to us, they're not new angels. And undoubtedly, they were there at the incarnation. The same angels. You think of that. There's the angels gathered around and they observe this new baby. Their Creator has taken on the form of sinful flesh. Made like unto the people whom He's going to save. He wasn't a sinner, of course. But was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Romans chapter 8 says that. And those angels, they looked on and they sang His praises. And the shepherds, they heard them. They heard them. That's not fiction. That's not a made-up story. That's real. That's real. These angels who ministered to Jacob were as real as the angels that do minister to you, though unseen by our natural eye, just as real. And they beheld our Savior. Like I say, these are not the angels that minister to us, that guard us, that encourage us, that no doubt whisper into our ears verses of Scripture to strengthen us in the faith. These are some of the same angels who ministered to our Savior. You want to know how much God loves us and how gracious He is to us? He uses those same ministering spirits, spirits that minister to His only begotten Son. He uses them to minister to us. Isn't that something? That just was a sweet thought to me today. I'm so blessed by that. I thought, here I am in this office with the Word of God open, and I'm studying, and I don't have the least doubt but what angels of God were right there in the office with me, and sent by God. They beheld the Savior's birth. They were there to minister to the Savior after Satan tempted Him 40 days and 40 nights. And I certainly believe they took Him food. They took the Savior food and water. They ministered to Him. And they were there ready, as it were, on call. If the Heavenly Father had seen fit to send them when our Lord was on the cross. And you remember Simon Peter, he took his sword out and he whacked off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. Lord Jesus reattached that ear. He told Simon, put your sword up. How else shall the Scripture be fulfilled? But they were there. Those angels were there. They were ready. I guarantee you, they were ready. But their services were not needed, for the death of the Lord Jesus was ordained in old eternity to save us. No angel got a call from the Father. No angel received a divine summons. Go there! Oh no. Oh no. He must die. He must suffer. He must bleed. He must die. And He must die. He must redeem all by Himself. No angel was there to help Him in any way. He did it by Himself. And of course we know that our Lord died. And I don't doubt but what angels of God weren't gathered around that cross. And when His soul left that body, up He went into the presence of God. After all, the angels were there when Lazarus died, right? We read about that. Angels of God took Him into the presence of the Lord. I'm sure the angels of God took the Savior right into the presence of God. This righteous, righteous servant of Jehovah. And angels were there, I'm sure, when he was exalted and he ascended on high. And you know what it says in Matthew chapter 25? When our Lord Jesus comes back, and everybody's going to be gathered together, going to be a great judgment. In Matthew chapter 25, I read it again today, and all the holy angels coming with him. Now, how many is that? All of the holy angels, his attendants, oh, how they praise him. But they can't praise him like we do because they haven't been redeemed. They desire to know more about it. But there's no salvation. There was no salvation for the fallen angels. And the elect angels, they haven't experienced. They will never experience sin. And therefore, consequently, they will never know the sweetness of forgiveness and the full pardon of sin through the bloody death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll never know anything about that. And they'll hear us sing forever, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, who redeemed us to God by His blood." They can't enter into that. But we sure will. Now, think of this. God used angels to minister to His Son, who is the darling of His bosom. Loved Him with all of His heart. And when I say that, I realize that doesn't touch the... doesn't even begin to set forth the Father's love toward the Son. But I'll tell you this, as the Father loves the Son, that's how He loves us. And He sent those ministering spirits to one like Jacob. And He sends ministering spirits to each of you who are the people of God, you who are watching. Probably somebody out there by themselves. You what? Got your Bible open. He sends His ministering spirits to you because you are valued by God. You're one of His jewels. That's what we read in the Scriptures. One day He's going to come back to gather all of His jewels. A jewel is expensive. A jewel is that which is very highly valued and prized. I tell you, God highly values His people. And so He sends the same angels to minister to us as He sent to minister to His Son. If that doesn't kind of make your day, if that doesn't put a little wind in your sail, well, you need to seek the Lord's face. It's a great blessing, but this is what happened to Jacob. He's fearful. He's met with Laban, though they parted on good terms. Laban kissed them all goodbye. And Jacob then sees these angels. And it did him good, but it didn't take him long to forget. And that's the way it is with us. Because he sees all of these angels, and then he sends messengers to his brother Esau. And said, basically, I got a lot of stuff for you. And he even called him Lord, which was not right, because Jacob has the birthright. Jacob's got the blessing. He humbled himself before the wrong one. But you see, he's trying to save his bacon, as we'd say. He's trying to take care of himself. He's sweetening this thing up. Maybe Esau won't be so rough on me if I call him Lord. I'm your humble servant. And I got a goodwill package for you. All this cattle and sheep that I'm going to give you. And the messengers came back. Well, did you find them? Yes, sir. You found my brother? Yes, sir. Well, what's going on? He's heading your way and he's got 400 men with him. And all of a sudden, that vision of all those angels just kind of evaporates. And he's afraid again. Look at verse 7. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. My title to this, it's a long title. Jacob, fearful and prayerful. But really, I'd put another word in there, but probably wouldn't have room for this full title. Jacob, fearful and distressed, but prayerful. He's fearful and he's distressed. Very interesting word, that word distress, because it comes from an original word which means squeezed in, or as we would say, between a rock and a hard place. He feels everything pressuring in on him. And he's fearful. He says, well, what am I going to do? I'll just divide my whole group into two groups. And if he comes across that group over there, at least we'll be all right. If he comes across me and this group right here, they'll be all right. Trying to take care of himself. But we get to verse 9. And he does have the good sense to go to the Lord in prayer. And he says, verse 9, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac. God. The word is Elohim. The Creator God. The God who made all things. I believe you're the governor of the nations. You made all things by your power. You rule all things. You're God. And there isn't that a plurality. For there is the Trinity. For the Lord said there in Genesis 1, let us make man in our own image. Not three gods, but three persons in the Godhead. And then he says, the Lord. He uses a different word now. The first word is Elohim, or the triune God, omnipotent, the Creator. Now he uses Jehovah, the great I am. The ever-existent one. He recognizes the greatness, the omnipotence, and the glory of the one to whom he's speaking. When we go to the Lord in prayer, let us always remember who it is we're talking to. We're talking to the one who made everything, who rules everything. We're talking to the great I am, the eternal God. And this is the God who saves. This is the God who shows grace. So, yes, Jacob, he's fearful. He feels like the whole world is squeezing in on him. Do you ever feel that way? The troubles are just, they're coming in. It's just mashing me. It's pressing on me. That's the idea of this word here. Distressed. Do you ever feel like everything's, it's just, we'd say, stressing you out. That's the way Jacob was. He's stressed out. He's felt like everything is just mashing him. You ever feel that way? Sometimes the people of God feel that way. What are you going to do? Well, I'll tell you what Jacob did not do. He didn't turn to the gods of Laban. And his wife has got those gods in her saddlebags. But he didn't turn to them. And he didn't turn to the angels either. Thank God for the angels. But we don't pray to angels. No, sir. We're thankful for them. But we don't worship angels. I know a lot of people today do. That's idolatry. It's idolatry to worship angels. John fell down to worship an angel in the book of Revelation, and the angel of God said, "Get up! I'm just a servant of God like you are. I just serve in a different capacity." Yeah, he didn't worship, he didn't call on the angels, and he didn't call on those false gods of Laban. He called on the God who's God. Isn't it very comforting for all of us to know that the God who rules the world, the God who is the sovereign, the God who is all powerful, the God to whom all things belong, Jehovah, the eternal one, the only Savior, our Lord Jesus used that expression, "I am," several times in His ministry, as they're recorded in the Gospel of John. "I am the door, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life. I'm the good shepherd." The one we call alone is the great I am, and nothing is impossible with Him. And nobody can frustrate His purpose. Nobody can stop Him from doing what He's purposed to do. That's who Jacob calls on. Tell you what, if you're going to call on the Lord in prayer, you make sure you call on the right Lord. There's a lot of people across this world, they call on any kind of Lord at all. There are people in this world, here's what they'd do, they'd call on the gods of Laban just in case. And call on the angels just in case. And call on the God of Abraham just in case. Just kind of hit them all. Well, surely one of them's the real God. No, you're an idolater. That's what people, they get these prayer chains going. And so, well, I want everybody praying about my cancer or whatever, my heart condition, and they call the Catholic Church and the Baptist Church and the Methodist Church, and they say, well, surely one of them will get through. There's only one God who hears, and one God who has all power. And that's the God of the Bible. That's Him. Say what you want to about Jacob. He did call on the right one. I know he's fearful. And I know he is distressed. He is. He's just plumb stressed out. But he called on the Lord. And look at his attitude in verse 10. Don't you love this? "I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth. You can enter into that, can't you? Don't you say in your own heart, Lord, I'm not worthy of the least of the mercies you've given to me. But I'll tell you what, any of the mercies of God that he gives to his people are not least mercies. They're big mercies. Because they're mercies in Christ Jesus. Think of how merciful God's been to you to teach you the truth. The truth. The truth of how God saves sinners. The truth of God's identity. And there's the truth about your condition. And the truth about the Lord Jesus and his work of redemption upon the cross of Calvary. And the work of the Spirit of God. He's revealed to you the Spirit of truth who teaches you about Christ Jesus. Jacob says, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy that you would show the truth to me. And then he throws this in and he says, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, now I'm become two bands with this staff. He's a shepherd. He knows what a staff is for. It's got a crook on it to pull a lamb or a sheep back with the flock. And he could kind of nudge them along. Maybe he's saying, Lord, maybe he's saying, if I'm out of line, use that staff and pull me back in line. But he says in verse 11, deliver me. Save me. Save me from my enemy. But you know something? He really didn't have anything to worry about. Because Esau's not coming after him to get him. I tell you how it is with us. We let our minds run wild. And then we in our own minds, we imagine the worst that's going to happen. And we worry about it. That's what Jacob's doing. He's worried about, oh no, this is terrible, that's terrible. No, it's not terrible. Because it's not going to be the way that Jacob thinks it's going to be. He's not going to be on the war path. He's going to come up to Jacob and hug him and kiss him. And when Jacob says to him, back over here, look at chapter 33. Look at chapter 33. Just look at verse 1. And Jacob lifted up his eyes, he looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. Oh, no. Oh, boy. Probably his life flashed before his eyes. This is the end right now. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost and Leah and her children after and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them. He goes ahead of them. All right, I'm walking to my death. I'm going to go over there by myself. Probably he's going to say to Esau, just take me, do with me what you want, but not my family. He goes over, he bows himself to the ground 7 times, perfect humility, until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran out to meet him, and Jacob probably said, here it comes. Here comes the dagger. And Esau embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they just cried. Didn't go the way Jacob thought it was going to go. He worried about this. He couldn't sleep over this. He's fearful, distressed. but it was all right. And I'll tell you, a good many of the things that we worry about, that we lose sleep over, a lot of them don't even happen. We just imagine the worst. And even if things do happen, let us never forget, the Lord said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And Jacob's got all these animals with him. And I'll just show this in verse 8 there of chapter 33. And he said, Esau said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? Well, what's all this cattle? What are all these sheep here? And Jacob said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. Trying to buy his favor. Kind of like a sinner trying to buy the favor of God. Just come empty-handed. And here's what Esau said. I have enough, my brother. Keep that to yourself. I've got enough. It didn't work out at all the way Jacob thought. All that pressure, his blood pressure probably running up. No, didn't go that way. I'll go back over to verse 11. He says, deliver me from the hand, verse 11 of chapter 32. He says, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. I fear him, lest he'll come and smite me and the mother with the children. And then he goes to this. He says, but Lord, I remember your word. Let me tell you something about prayer. First of all, it's got something to do with the will of God. And we would all do well when we pray publicly to, as it were, remind the Lord of what He said He's going to do. David said, Lord, you said, seek ye my face. Thy face, O Lord, I'm going to seek. You said, if I seek you, I'd find you. Go ahead and use God's word. I'm very much persuaded we don't use enough of the Word of God even in our prayers. Amen. Use God's Word. Use what He has promised. This is exactly what Jacob is doing here. Lord, You said to me, I've got your word on this. I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea. I'm going to have a seed. His name is Christ Jesus the Lord. And He's going to have a people as numerous as the sand on the seashore. A people that can't be numbered for multitude. Lord, that's what you promised. That's what you promised. And I'll tell you what the Lord has promised, He will do. He will do. Well, may the Lord bless that to His glory and to our good. Thank you, Father, for bringing us together this evening. You have said in your word that a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Lord, we believe you've given us something from above tonight. Help us to receive the word and to draw strength and confidence and encouragement from what you have said. We thank you, O Lord, for your dear Son, our Savior, for that great salvation in Him. And we thank you for the ministering spirits who come to us and who no doubt are with us now. We're thankful that they're here. But more than that, we're thankful for the Master of the angels, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the angel, the messenger of the covenant. We rejoice in Him. And as we leave this building tonight, we go our way thankful that our God is God indeed, and that all things are under your dominion and your control. Forgive us for being fearful. We have no cause whatsoever to ever be fearful. And yet, Lord, knowing us as we do, we'll be fearful again, and we're sorry. We're asking that you'd help us to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remind us that not only are the angels of God with us, but far more than that, the angel of the covenant is with us by His Spirit. And we rejoice in Christ Jesus. Dismiss us with the benediction of your grace and love and mercy, and may these be upon all who call upon your name in truth and in spirit. For Christ's sake I pray. Amen.